Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast. My name is Will Brueggemann.
And I am Carl Brueggemann. As you can probably tell by this music, today's episode is Final Fantasy.
Yes, a very exciting topic. For those of you who don't know, Final Fantasy is a huge RPG franchise that started back in 1987 and has seen releases on a numerous number of consoles. In fact, its characters are so memorable and have sort of seeped into video game pop culture. And one of the biggest things is it has one of the most famous and successful video game soundtracks of all time.
Definitely. And the main composer behind the bulk of them, his name is Nobuo Uematsu, who is arguably one of the most famous and well-respected video game composers of all time.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the most prolific and successful.
Yeah, and it's interesting, he probably has one of the longest-running careers in video game composition out of anyone that I can think of.
Right. I mean, the next closest thing I could think of would be Koji Kondo, mm-hmm. and they're sort of considered the two pillars in the world of video game music. And
definitely.
What I think is interesting is in some areas compositionally and just a lot of different things, they sort of overlap, but in many different ways, they're very different in their styles. And I think the things that people respond to in both of the composers are very different.
Oh, definitely. I think there probably is some crossover as far as fans. There's obviously people that will be fans of both, but I think there's definitely a lot of people that are fans of Uematsu's music and maybe wouldn't be fans of Kondo's music, and the other way around.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just, this episode is a long time coming. I think there's a lot of people that, listening to our first season of the podcast, were probably wondering a long time ago, where is the Final Fantasy at? And we've talked a little bit about kind of our background and maybe some of our initial feelings toward the Final Fantasy series and music.
Yeah, initially we were both a little bit reprehensive about doing this music. Partially it might just be a reaction to, we've never really been a big fan of RPGs, and we're both huge Koji Kondo fans and Nintendo fans, and we both, I think, agree that Koji Kondo is by far one of our favorite video game composers,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of talk you can read on the internet or just discussion amongst nerds about who's better, and a lot of times you sort of hear Uematsu versus Koji Kondo,
mm-hmm.
and it might just be when you butt those heads together, we might want to take sides, but it's really unfair to compare them.
It really is unfair, and I think it's also unfair to judge Uematsu's Final Fantasy music in the way that you would judge like pop music.
Exactly.
Like a very short snippet. When you listen to a song for 5 seconds, it might not jump out at you as amazing, but when you take the time to really listen to it over and over again, that's where the brilliance, I think, comes.
Well,
comes out.
We'll touch on this later, but Koji Kondo's music is designed to be memorable and catchy and fun for the type of action and colorful games that he composes for.
Yeah.
But Uematsu, writing for an RPG, I feel a lot of his music, and he's really mastered this compositionally, is meant to have sort of an unending loopable quality to
mm-hmm.
it. And as opposed to just looping a track over and over again like most old school video game composers do, he would do techniques in his compositions where he might not resolve back to the one, or certain different techniques that he would use to create this unending feel. And I think both of their goals were quite different. I believe that Uematsu was just trying to make effective music for the games, and if something remained memorable after that, that was a bonus. Where I do feel like Koji Kondo, that was one of his main goals, was to create that type of simple, catchy melody.
Yeah, so in a lot of ways, this episode was a nice learning experience for me and Will, because I think it really did kind of push us out of our comfort zone, because like we said in the past, we never really grew up with these games or these soundtracks, so it really was good for us to, it kind of forced us to listen to every single Final Fantasy soundtrack. And I think now Will and I have so much more respect for Uematsu and the music of this whole series. So we're really looking forward to getting into this episode.
Definitely. So let's get to it. The theme that we played in with was the prelude to the whole Final Fantasy series. It features in almost every single game.
And this version that we played in with was actually from the re-release of Final Fantasy 1. But just to talk a little bit, give a little bit of a background of Uematsu. Uematsu was a self-taught musician. He didn't have any formal training. He started playing piano when he was about 11 or 12 and started to get into music around that time. Never had any formal piano lessons, so it was all just, he was completely self-taught. So with that being said, let's get into it. The first game in the Final Fantasy series, Final Fantasy, or some people say Final Fantasy 1, came out for the Nintendo Entertainment System in 1987, and the game was composed by Nobuo Uematsu. We're going to play a couple tracks from this first game. This first track is the main theme. Here we go. ¶¶ This is the main theme from Final Fantasy, composed by Nobuo Uematsu. This, in some ways, is, for me, I think the most classic Final Fantasy thing. Not that I grew up with it, but I don't know, it's just such a great introduction to the music of the series, and they do reuse this theme in later games, but this is such a timeless piece.
I think the chord choices are very unique, especially to be heard on the Nintendo Entertainment System, and it's interesting hearing Uematsu's style back on the 8-bit era, because I'm more used to hearing his music on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting hearing some of his limitations and what he does. He's, to me, I feel like he's doing a little bit less obscurest type of things with his music, because with the limitations, it might not carry over as effectively on an 8-bit console. And I think he was still sort of getting into his style and creating the style for the series.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think that the first three NES Final Fantasy titles has the best music that he ever made.
Or at least it's the easiest to listen to.
Could be. I mean, it could just be my cup of tea, but I absolutely love these first three NES soundtracks. So anyway, that was main theme. We're going to play one more track from this first game because we just thought it warranted playing a couple tracks because it has a stellar soundtrack and it was just kind of the start of it all. So the next song from this game is called Underwater Temple.
This is Underwater Temple from Final Fantasy I, composed by Nobuo Uematsu.
This track is... I just absolutely love this track. It's nice to hear a really kind of minor key-driven piece, because
right.
A lot of the music from this first game was very major key oriented, so this song really stood out to me. And one thing that I love is how sparse it is, and if you'll notice, these first two tracks, and actually I would say 90% of the NES Final Fantasy soundtracks, if you'll notice, they have no drums.
Right.
So that really creates a lot more space, but one thing I think it does is it really makes you pay attention to the music of it, to the melodies,
right.
To the harmonies.
I completely agree, and one thing that I do like about that is it creates sort of a more mysterious and a little bit frightening feel, because you don't mm-hmm. have the comfort of knowing the pulse.
Exactly.
So it lets the instruments drive it, so when there's a pause in the music, there's literally silence. There's mm-hmm. nothing else happening, and I think that might have been intentional, and it may just be an unintentional benefit that creates like much more effective music.
And in general, I would say that for the entire series, the music that Uematsu composed, a great majority of it doesn't feature any drums or driving rhythmic percussion
right.
at all.
Except for a lot of the boss themes.
Yes, obviously. And yeah, and it really is interesting. Like, he kind of developed these traditions, these musical traditions, and he would keep them going in every single soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been so fun if you were a fan of those games. Every game that comes out, it really feels like it's continuing the momentum of the previous games as far as the
right.
music and everything. So now we're going to move on to the second game. This is Final Fantasy II. This came out a year later, 1988. We're going to play one song from this game. This is Cave Theme.
Thank you.
What a cool piece. This is Cave Theme from Final Fantasy II.
I really like just some of the intervals that lands on that melody and that instrument that he uses. One thing I really like about his NES soundtracks is he has very unique sounding instruments
totally.
And things that he'll do with the pulse channels to create some very unique, almost rhythmic sounds to each note that's played.
Yeah, he has this kind of weird pulsating, it's not vibrato, but it's like pulsating velocity of, mm-hmm. of his leads, and he does it on a lot of these soundtracks, and for me, it just sounds like Final Fantasy.
Sometimes it almost sounds like feedback, like it's being run through some type of machine.
But it really is mysterious sounding. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very striking to the ear, and I can't think of another soundtrack that utilizes it as heavily.
Also, what I like about this A section right here is there's sort of almost a delay to that bass line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally know what you mean.
It's so delayed that it almost feels like syncopation, because it's like... Yeah, it's really cool, and it creates this rhythmic feel, and that combined with that really dissonant and ominous melody, mm-hmm. it's a very, very effective piece, and yeah, I think it's fantastic.
And again, I think this is another piece that really stood out to both of us when we were going through these soundtracks, because it's a lot more demonic and scary than almost all the rest of the
right.
tracks in the soundtrack, so...
The one thing that I do like as being an outsider of the series is I'm able to experience just the music.
Yep.
And it's really cool when it's able to create these images just by the title
mm-hmm.
and the music itself. I'm seeing these images in my head. And someday I'll probably go through and play some of the games in the series. But
sure.
I like experiencing it this way, because it's nice to be able to hear the music by itself and what things it's doing to create the type of imagery that would be necessary in a game.
That's a really good point. That is kind of lucky that we're able to do that. We're really able to come into it with an objectivity that right. a lot of people wouldn't have if the nostalgia is really influencing their
right, opinions. And that could be one of our biases towards some of our favorite soundtracks that we can't quite take away.
Exactly, yeah. So now we're going to move on to a game called Final Fantasy Legend. And this game came out a couple years after Final Fantasy II, and this was a Game Boy title. So we're going to go away from the Nintendo or the Famicom, because I think that last soundtrack we played, it was only released in Japan, I believe.
Right, Final Fantasy II, III, and V were actually all only released in Japan, and the way they numbered it in America is Final Fantasy IV was called 2, and Final Fantasy VI was called 3. So then when Final Fantasy VII came out for the PlayStation,
it was just 7.
A lot of Americans were confused because they didn't continue the American numbering, they just went to 7,
mm-hmm.
and it was actually, to some of their surprises, it was earlier titles in the series that they had missed
mm-hmm.
out on.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting and unique. But anyway, we're going to move on now to, like I said, a Game Boy title. This is Final Fantasy Legend, and we're going to play the Overworld theme.
This is the Overworld from Final Fantasy Legend.
And again, composed by Nobuo Uematsu. So far, every track we've heard has... this will continue for quite a while.
Right.
So far in the series, he's the sole composer.
Yeah, I think this is a really effective piece, and there has a lot of moving lines, but it also has sort of a... It also doesn't feature drums, but mm-hmm. it has a very forward pulse to it, which is very different from a lot of the other music in the games.
Exactly.
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah.
dun. Like sort of like a march quality to it. And it's really, it creates a lot of fullness for a Game Boy game, at least.
Oh, totally. You know, I just, I eat up these early Final Fantasy soundtracks, because for me, it's a lot more accessible and it's a lot more consistently rhythmically driven music,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the things that I really attach to when I listen into soundtracks. That's one of the things that's really important to me, and it's one of the reasons why some of the later Final Fantasy music was really hard for me to open myself up to, it because it was, a lot of it is kind of rhythmically ambiguous or rhythmically wandering, where there'll be an idea and it'll all of a sudden go into a new direction and go into a different direction in a different direction. And for me, sometimes that's hard for me to accept that. So for these early Final Fantasy soundtracks, I really got into it pretty quickly. And it is kind of cool to see that he didn't just continue the same style. He really, I feel like in these 8-bit titles, he was kind of forced with these limitations, and he kind of came up with a similar solution that a lot of other 8-bit composers were mm-hmm. to come up with in this time. But it's cool to note that in the later consoles, when he had more freedom, he was able to express probably more of his true side.
Right, but I one thing I do love about these 8-bit soundtracks is he was utilizing a lot of really nice classical sounding chord progressions, so the music just felt very authentic mm-hmm. and very classic, like instantly classic.
Yeah.
And that's something that was very desperately needed on the NES to make it sound timeless. And
exactly.
I think that's something Koji Kondo was able to do, and definitely Uematsu as well.
So now we're going to move on to Final Fantasy III. And again, this was also not released in North America, correct, Will?
Correct.
So this game came out in 1990, the same year that Final Fantasy Legend came out. And we're going to play one track from this soundtrack. This is Alter Cave. This is Alter Cave from Final Fantasy III, composed by Uematsu. This track is, when this part first comes, because it starts off with that kind of fade in mm-hmm. and that major key, and then all of a sudden when it gets to this chord, it's just so epic and just badass. I love this track.
This is actually my favorite section right here. It's very subtle and mm-hmm. beautiful. It's just... I just can't describe how gorgeous this is, because it's continuing that same sort of arpeggiation pattern, except now it's with more lush sounding chords, and
exactly.
it's still doing the ascending thing, but it's not as chromatic and dark, and it doesn't have this demonic da la 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 la.
What I love about this section, though, is this is one of the first times that Uematsu would use the, I know Will kind of has a problem with me calling this, the James Bond chord progression.
Right.
We only know that because that's probably the most famous example of that chromatically mm-hmm. ascending and descending
yeah.
chord progression.
But it's such a generic...
It's a chord progression that Uematsu uses in so many of his Final Fantasy music,
mm-hmm.
and it's always incredibly effective. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to jump ahead to another generation. This is going to from the Nintendo or the Famicom to the Super Nintendo or the Super Famicom. This is going to Final Fantasy IV, and this game came out in 1991.
I think this one was Final Fantasy II in America, if
I'm
correct.
Yeah, we may be wrong about that, but hopefully...
I think this was Final Fantasy II in America.
What's cool about these Super Nintendo or Super Famicom Final Fantasy soundtracks is each one of them is very unique and doesn't sound like the other one. Like when you're listening to 4 or 5 or 6, you know exactly which one you're listening to.
Yeah.
And they have a very set style that they're
right.
going for, but at the same time, it all fits in the canon of Final Fantasy.
Right. One thing I would definitely give a lot of credit to Uematsu about is he, like Carl was saying, he has a definite style for each of his soundtracks, and because there were so many Final Fantasy games, and unlike Zelda, where each one sort of tried to reinvent itself
mm-hmm.
musically and gameplay-wise for the most part, Koji Kondo didn't quite do this as much, but one thing Uematsu does with Final Fantasy is each game sort of has a theme and sort of a variation on it, and definitely a rhythmic style, and to very broad things like the sound of the instruments and the sound of the music, to more specific things like the way each instrument channel sounds and what kind of weird effects he puts on the melodies.
In addition to that, another great thing he does in individual soundtracks is he'll have a little melodic motif, and that will be used. It'll be harkened back to in various themes later on in the game.
Right.
That's one of the most effective things that I've noticed for these soundtracks.
Yeah, it's very advanced for a video game. It's almost mm-hmm. something that a lot of film music does and is very effective to harken back on a thematic idea in different contexts.
All right, so the track we're going to play from Final Fantasy IV is called Turoyan Beauty.
Listening to Turoyan Beauty from Final Fantasy IV. This track is very beautiful. I love Uematsu's use of the harp, and again, some of those classical progressions, and just so many beautiful chord choices here. I really love it.
In most of these tracks, there's always at least that one chord that is the color chord that makes you go, ooh. Like, right. When we listen to this music, in almost every track, there was that one chord that was like the ooh chord. It just gave you that reaction. I think it's the minor four chord in this particular piece.
Exactly. But yeah, that's always an effective one. But one thing I like about his chord choices is that he uses a mix of sort of medieval-sounding classical chords,
sure.
But also he uses some more modern, almost show-tune-y, musical Broadway-style chords. And
definitely.
When you put those together, I always think it's a very interesting and effective combination.
Yeah, the problem, I guess the challenge of trying to put those two together is at times it can feel a little bit disjointed because at least personally, it can feel like, okay, well, which one is he really trying to go for?
Right.
So that is one of the challenges of trying to combine those two different styles. But this piece does it effectively. And what's really interesting to me is, you know, we just heard Final Fantasy III, and going to this, it's incredibly different musically. And it is pretty striking to hear that difference, that since he had more channels and much more of a variety of instruments, he really is opening up and kind of flexing his musical muscles here. It really sounds different from the game that he composed previously.
From the 16-bit era and on with the Final Fantasy series, I feel like you get a lot more romantic, beautiful melodies, mm-hmm. which is really what I respond to the most.
And I feel like that's the strength of Uematsu's composition. Like, so many of these songs are romantic love themes, and I feel like that's what a lot of the most famous and classic, well-loved Final Fantasy music are, those romance themes, and he has tons of them. So we're going to move on now to Final Fantasy V, which came out in 92. This is probably the most famous and well-respected song in the Final Fantasy series, I think.
Yeah, I'd say that.
It's just, I know that it's always just really high up on people's lists of the best Final Fantasy themes, which is mm-hmm. always kind of silly to make those lists, because, you know, this theme is doing something very different from, you know, a romance theme or from a battle theme, so it's hard to compare, but this is a very, very popular song. This is called Ahead on Our Way.
Thank you.
This is Ahead on Our Way from Final Fantasy V. This is a piece that really has grown on me over the course of listening to it multiple times.
Right.
That I remember when I first heard this piece, when I was like looking on YouTube of like what people consider the best Final Fantasy tracks. And I heard this and I just was very, I just wasn't impressed at all. And one of the reasons I wasn't is that third chord. It doesn't really make sense in a from a music theory point of view that he goes to like this minor chord. It's kind of distracting, especially the first listen for me. But the rest of this piece is so beautiful, and especially this C section. This is really where it comes alive for me. I love this part.
Well, I have a somewhat similar story to my reaction to this piece. Is I initially did have some of that reprehensive feelings about this, and from a less educated standpoint, I would just like to throw around the word like, oh, random or something. But after listening to it, I actually think it's a complete work of genius, because it is something that grows on you, but it's intended to grow on you, because you're meant to listen to it a lot.
And I think it's something we talked about in our, I believe, original showcase episode, where you mentioned that there's kind of two styles of video game music. There's the kind where it's instantly catchy, but runs the risk of getting old. And then there's the kind that you're not quite sure about it at first, but really grows on you. And that's what you were thinking is probably the more effective kind of video game music.
Yeah, and after like one time or two times of listening to this, that minor chord is the coolest thing about the entire song, because it completely changes your expectations, because you start with this beautiful major sound and then it goes to minor and then it continues that way.
But
and
one of the weird things really about that chord is it's not just strictly minor. It's like minor, major, minor, major, minor, major. It almost
it's
like
really cool.
It messes with you.
It has a really nice effect, and it's the little thing like that. That's sort of I hate to keep throwing this around, but when we did have that interview last season with Grant Kirkhope, he mentioned that one of the tricks that he likes to use when he's composing, something that he always looks to, the one thing to create a catchy melody, is he says there's that one odd note that he likes to use.
Yeah.
And this is that. This is, it's not necessarily a note, but it's an odd chord, and
sure,
it's something that's a little surprising and maybe a little unexpected, but it's the thing that gets in your head and makes you want to get to that section in the music.
Sure,
again.
But how about that main C section theme, that beautiful theme that they would reuse in lots of other tracks, that da 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 da. That's just so pretty.
And again, using that harp is very effective, and it sounds really nice.
Yeah, harps and flutes are kind of the go-to instrument for Final Fantasy, I would say. But we're going to move on now to Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. And this is the first title today that is going to be featuring music that was not composed by Uematsu. This was composed by Ryuji Sasai, and he was a composer that composed the soundtrack of that game. If you remember from our imports episode, it was called Rudra no Hiho, and we really loved it. I remember me and Will just really got a kick out of that music. So this is a composer who did that game. He also did this game. And we did play a track from this on our, I believe, our boss episode.
Yeah, that's correct.
But this is a very good soundtrack, and I think it's kind of underrated. I know that this game is kind of considered like a B Final Fantasy game. It's not quite as good. It's like a spin-off, you know?
Right. One thing I'd like to say in general about the Final Fantasy series, whenever they get an outside composer to do the music, I feel like they really take it seriously. They try to capture that Uematsu style and do a really nice job to create equally effective music.
Totally. And what's really fun to listen to is it's fun to hear all these other people's impersonations of Uematsu and how incredibly different it is. But it's also, it carries the torch of
it. It's kind of similar to like Mario Land or...
Exactly.
But I feel there's much more respect attributed to these soundtracks rather than like when they try to do Mario.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
because
these
Zelda
games are so serious. I mean, this is like, people are really serious about this series. So, so this is a track called City of Forest, Forestia.
track is called City of Forest, composed by Ryuji Sasai. I really think this is beautiful. It's not quite as long as a loop as some of the others that we were playing, mm-hmm. but it's instantly infectious, and it has that descending... It actually is reminiscent to me of the Sonic the Hedgehog
Green Hill Zone
special stage.
It also kind of the Green Hill Zone chords.
Right.
It's going from the 4 major 7, 3-2 to 1 major 7.
Right.
Yep.
Very pretty, very effective, very mm-hmm. simple. It's not quite as unique as Uematsu's music, but... it might be a little bit more easy to listen to just as a simple, fun little piece of music.
Yeah, for me, when I first listened to this soundtrack, it was a lot more immediately enjoyable. But like you said, it may run the risk of not holding up as long.
And I mean, it's hard to judge these things on that standard because these were all constructed to be effective for the games that they were made for.
Exactly.
Almost like how film score is meant to aid the film. It tells you what to feel. So it's, I don't know if maybe this is a little bit more instant than the other ones, but I don't know if it means that it's equally as effective.
Yeah, I think it really comes down to subjective taste, you know, and it comes down to what you respond to. And it's just great that we can have so many different composers and have some that we respond to more than others, but it's great to have this kind of variety with a few different composers. And so now we're going to move on to Final Fantasy VI, and this soundtrack, I absolutely love this soundtrack, and I think a lot of people would probably consider this the best soundtrack in the Final Fantasy series. And since it was so good and there's so many great tracks, we are actually going to play two tracks from the soundtrack today. The first track is called Terra.
This track is called Terra from Final Fantasy VI. One thing I so love about this track is it has a gorgeous melody and it's very exciting. It sounds like the beginning of an adventure on the flute, mm-hmm. but also another thing that I really respond to is if you listen to the strings, they start with a softness and they crescendo and then fade out a little bit, and then there's always like a descending or ascending note in the midst of the strings that sort of like has a smooth transition between chords, mm-hmm. and it sounds very authentic to proper orchestration. It doesn't just sound like we'll have these three notes for a chord and then let's make those strings. Like, it sounds very intentional and authentic for an SNES track.
Yeah, and I really feel like coming back to Uematsu again, sorry if we didn't mention that. So yeah, Final Fantasy VI was again composed by Nobuo Uematsu, and I really feel like he was coming at these soundtracks from closer to a film music point of view, mm-hmm. as opposed to a video game.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that's one of the things that's so impressive. He was one of the first of his time to start looking at mm-hmm. video games as a medium and take it more seriously. And I really applaud him for that. And also, I think it's so impressive the soundscapes he was able to create with this. Like, it's very beautiful. And that sort of flute melody, it almost reminds me of something like, I don't know if it reminds you of this, but it reminds me of Karate Kid a little bit. Like, the instrumentation of it, that has like that sort of flute melody.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of those later SNES Ys games, it was either Ys 5 or 6. I feel like now listening to this, it was probably influenced by this game.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But I think the fact that he was coming at it from more of a film music point of view, it's not surprising that for certain people, it would be a little bit harder to just instantly enjoy it, because the average person probably doesn't sit down on their iPod and listen to film music.
Yeah.
I
do that, but no, like, seriously.
That's funny. So, now we're going to play another track from this game, and actually, something I want to note here is pretty much every single Final Fantasy game that came out, starting from maybe 4, there was an accompanying piano collections album that was also released.
Right.
And this is just one of the things about this Final Fantasy series. It gives you a little glimpse into how well-respected the music was. I mean, there's no other series like it.
And remains to this day.
Yeah, every single game that comes out, there's an accompanying piano album professionally done, featuring obviously Uematsu's music or whoever composed the game, and arranged by a professional arranger,
and it's very tastefully done
and performed by just a professional piano player. So that's just one of the really cool things about this Final Fantasy series. So the next track we're going to play is our first piano version of the day. We're going to play a couple of them today, and it also happens to be our track of the week. This track is called Phantom Forest, and it was obviously composed by Nobuo Uematsu. It was arranged by Shiro Sato and performed by Reiko Nomura. Here we go.
This is our track of the week, Phantom Forest, composed by Nobuo Uematsu. This is just a gorgeous piece, and I just adore this arrangement. It really highlights that simple but just gorgeous melody, and I love how sparse the piano is. It's so well done, and it really makes you consciously aware of how gorgeous the music really is for these games.
And the performance is excellent. This pianist really put a lot of emotion into this piece. And it was a little bit sad for me because I love the original. I absolutely it's probably my favorite track from the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And so it was sad that we weren't able to play the original, but this piano version just really kind of elevates right. The emotions of this piece.
Yeah, in case you don't know or don't remember, the original has a much more sort of staccato, almost choir sound, and it has a percussive nature to it too. It's like...
Yeah. But again,
it's really cool.
We're going back to that James Bond chord progression. So yeah, that was our track of the week. We're going to now move on to, in a lot of ways, for me, it feels like the most famous, most talked about Final Fantasy game.
Right.
Everyone talks about this. This is Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, totally.
And this came out for the PlayStation. And this was the first Final Fantasy game that I ever actually saw. I remember a friend was playing this. So I remember actually watching this when this came out. Mm-hmm. This definitely was very...
this was one of the selling points for the PlayStation.
Definitely. And this was, again, composed by Nobuo Uematsu. We're going to play one track from this game. This is called Holding My Thoughts in My Heart. This is Holding My Thoughts in My Heart from Final Fantasy VII. This really is one of the prettiest pieces I think he's ever written. And what I love about that dun 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 dun, that high note of the melody, the first chord that it's played over is fairly dissonant in a way, but your ear knows what's coming, So there's something really rewarding about it when it gets to that next chord.
This instrument right here is just a perfect choice.
That
and
bell
every
instrument.
Time that bell instrument comes back, it has a new progression. Mm. And each progression is just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And oh, it's so beautiful and like haunting and just enchanting with the strings in the background.
Yeah, the instrumentation, it really creates a nice contrast from this slower section with that, I guess, oboe or clarinet, whatever you want to call that, mm-hmm. to the more metallic bell sound. And it is great that each of those sections has a clearly different type of a chord progression.
Right.
It's very, very effective.
Yeah, this would totally fit at home in any film. And I've really grown to appreciate Uematsu's diversity because mm-hmm. I feel like he creates a lot of romantic sounding music, but he is very diverse. Like he's able to create very different types of themes, and I think he's really good at all of it.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think one thing I will note here is going through all these soundtracks, the one thing I'll say about Uematsu is he's not an incredibly consistent composer. I feel like there is tons of filler on every single one of these soundtracks. There's lots of skippable tracks that I would never, ever want to listen to. And that's not really the case with someone like, let's say, Koji Kondo. I feel like he has more of a consistent level of quality on his soundtracks. In my opinion, of Uematsu's soundtracks is there are definite highlight tracks that are great, but there are a lot of tracks that are just kind of meh. In my opinion,
I think, but it's unfair to compare those. Look at any film score, like the full score.
That's true.
If you look at some random incidental theme, it's just trying to be effective.
No, that's true. It is unfair to compare that.
The melody being memorable is a second.
It is unfair to compare that, but it's almost impossible not to because I am coming at it from this point of view, listening to all these video game soundtracks. So it is something to think about. I really should think of it more like a film soundtrack, but it's hard because it technically is a video game soundtrack. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough.
Right.
So we're going to move on now to a game called Final Fantasy Tactics, which came out the same year as 7. And this was composed by Masaru Iwata and Hitoshi Sakimoto. And Hitoshi Sakimoto, in particular, he would go on to also compose another title in the series that we're going to get to later on. And he's a very talented composer. And just a little bit of a kind of background of him is he did Tactics. He also did 12, which we'll get to later on. He started composing when he was 16. That's when he started to make money from video game composing. And
almost like Yuzo Koshiro.
Yeah, and he started professionally a couple years later as a freelancer, and eventually got some jobs with Square and stuff. But I think his first international success came with a game called Ogre Battle. I don't know too much about the music of that game, but I've definitely heard of it many times, and I think it's well respected by a lot of people. So we're gonna play a track from Final Fantasy Tactics, and I really like this soundtrack. This is kind of a nice, again, it's nice to get some diversity from different composers. This track is called Prey.
Called Prey from Final Fantasy Tactics.
Such an effective piece. One thing that's kind of interesting to note about it is the end of that final section doesn't really transition all that well into the beginning of the loop again, but the music is so pretty that it really doesn't matter. Like when you hear it again, it's not like really on paper, it really doesn't have any transition, but it still works because all of it's so gorgeous. And these early string samples from the PlayStation nowadays are kind of out of date, but they still sound really good.
Right, and it's not going too far so that it feels jarring. And I actually think that's really impressive because it's having a lot of different sort of tonality in that short loopable segment.
Sure.
But it feels natural when it transitions back, and it doesn't need to have any sort of transitional section.
It's interesting. This game came out the same year as 7, and I would say is significantly less popular and maybe a spinoff title, but I think the sounds of the instruments are so much better than 7.
Right.
They really did, I think, technically a much better job. And maybe that was just Uematsu had to compose so much music and probably spent most of his time with the actual music and maybe not quite as much time with trying to find the best samples. Well, I think he used the sound chip too.
I think he definitely did use the sound chip. And this used samples, which were really nice. Mm-hmm. And it's a much more simple piece. It's just sort of chords, and it does that sort of thing where it'll have a short little phrase and it'll do it with the violins and then with the cellos.
It's interesting. You don't really hear a lot of PS1 soundtracks that use the sound chip. I feel like most of them that I've heard just feature CD audio. So it's really, you're not really that used to what that PS sound chip sounds like.
The funny thing about it is it's one of the things that makes it sound like Final Fantasy. Because mm-hmm. to me, Final Fantasy, I know that doesn't mean very much, but it's SNES.
Yeah.
Like at the heart of it. And the Final Fantasy VII soundtrack really does sound very just like 16-bit.
It does. I mean, that PS1 sound chip pretty much sounded like a Super Nintendo with slightly better fidelity. So anyway, we'll move on now to the next title in the series. This is Final Fantasy VIII, and this came out in 1999, again composed by Uematsu. We're going to play a really pretty piano piece called Julia. This is Julia from Final Fantasy VIII. It's nice that we're able to have a piano piece from the original version of the soundtrack. So this isn't a piano album. This is from the original soundtrack. You can tell the quality of the piano is definitely a little bit less realistic, but it's cool that this is most likely Uematsu performing this. Yeah, maybe in a MIDI keyboard.
Such a different piece than what you'd normally get with Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. But a lot of his compositional techniques that I really like and that he uses a lot, he definitely utilizes in this piece. And one thing that I notice is he really likes to land on very close intervals, and it's very nice when you play something like that on piano, because the piano is normally so in tune in such just a flat sound, so just hearing it played on the piano, it has this nice warmth to it.
Those closed voicings,
it really does sound nice.
It almost sounds, the piano is probably one of the only instruments where that would sound nice, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's more flat, like
well,
you
I mean,
said.
I think a full like string section can do that pretty nicely.
Sure, yeah. Very, very cool piece. We're now going to move on to Final Fantasy IX. We're going to play one track from the soundtrack, and this is, again, another Piano Collections version. We're going to play a track from that album, and this was arranged by Shiro Hamaguchi. He arranged the Final Fantasy IX Piano Collections.
This was actually a contender for Track of the Week for both Carl and I, especially this particular piano arrangement and the way it starts off. It's really catchy, and it's much more rhythmic than the other ones. And again, he has a nice use of using instruments to create a rhythmic feel.
It has a very strong classical influence, and it's just a lot of fun to listen to. The performer on this is Louis Lyrinck. Here is Vamos a la Flamenco.
Thank you.
This is Vamos a la Flamenco by Uematsu. This might be my personal favorite piece that we're playing today, and it's just so incredibly effective. The melody is very simple and great, but it has a very sort of Spanish influence almost, mm-hmm. rhythmically and melodically, and it's just very beautiful, and it goes to places that I feel a lot of his other pieces don't go to, mm-hmm. and I for that reason alone, I think it just makes it my favorite, because it definitely stands out amongst the Uematsu Final Fantasy music.
Sure.
In a good way.
And I think it's fitting that we're playing this piano version, because this is just an amazing arrangement of this piece. Like, when you listen to the original, it's definitely not exactly like this. He definitely took some liberties in the arrangement of it. But yeah, no, this is a really great version of a very fun classical piece that is definitely what was the highlight of this particular soundtrack, in my opinion. So now we're going to move on. We're going to skip ahead a little bit in this series to Final Fantasy XI, but we're going to play music from some of the expansion packs to Final Fantasy XI. So Final Fantasy XI, the actual game, was composed by a bunch of different people, and one of them was Naoshi Mitsuda, and the expansion packs to that game were composed solely by him. So we're going to spend a little bit of time playing a couple tracks of his, just kind of exploring some of his compositional style.
And what he brings to the Final Fantasy series.
Exactly. So this is from a game called Final Fantasy XI, Chains of Promethea, and we're going to play a track called Currents of Time. This is Currents of Time, composed by Naoshi Mitsuda from Final Fantasy XI, Chains of Promethea. And Naoshi Mitsuda, I discovered him because he was one of the composers of Rockman and Forte, which a fan of the podcast will know that's one of Will and I's favorite soundtracks. And I actually found out some of the specific breakdowns of the tracks from that game, and Mitsuda was the sole composer of the opening stage, which is my favorite track from mm-hmm. that game. So I definitely did a little bit of digging a couple months back into some of the other soundtracks he did, and discovered some of these Final Fantasy XI expansions that he did, and I really loved them, and I really wanted to dedicate a little bit of time on this episode to him, because I think he's a phenomenal composer. But this is another guy who was a self-taught composer, didn't have any formal training, as well as Ryoji Sasai, I believe. Actually, I think every single composer we're talking about today was self-taught and didn't have any formal training.
That's really awesome.
Pretty cool. But yeah, Naoshi Mitsuda did Rockman Forte. I think he also did like Street Fighter Zero to Alpha, I believe.
Oh.
And maybe Resident Evil 2, a couple other titles. But this piece is really gorgeous, and it's using instruments that are very true to the Final Fantasy series. That flute and this acoustic guitar really feels at home. It's interesting because this came out for the PS2, but it's such a MIDI kind of old school sounding guitar, mm-hmm. you know? Doesn't sound very modern.
Yeah, it definitely, one thing about it that feels very Final Fantasy to me, not really in the chords and the melody, but definitely in just sort of the sense that it feels very relaxed and doesn't really go to a place of huge, like, emotional climax,
mm-hmm.
because it all just feels very loopable. Instead of that, you just sort of have a sort of relaxed, loose sort of sound as its climax.
It's interesting, because there are definitely a lot of pieces in these expansion packs that are very big and bombastic and dramatic, but this was one of them that I think we responded to, because it was very subtle and very, very beautiful and simple. So we're going to move on now to another Final Fantasy XI expansion that was composed by Mitsuda. This is called Treasures of At-Urgon, and we're going to play a really fun track called The Colosseum. And Will kind of thinks that the chords remind him a little bit of Billie Jean by Michael Jackson.
Right.
So you be the judge. This is The Colosseum. We'll be right back. This is the Colosseum from Final Fantasy XI Treasures of At-Urgan. And man, if this doesn't sound like Rockman and Forte, that's one of the reasons we loved it so much. It reminds us of that opening stage.
Yeah, a lot of very similar chord choices and his almost signature melodic style. Mm-hmm.
And very rhythmic.
Gorgeous.
Very rhythmic. And the way holds off on that one diminished chord at the end. So it most of the other chords always land on the same rhythm. And then that last one, dun, 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 dun. Like, it's just so striking, so groovy.
Yeah, definitely. So jazzy, and it has a little bit of a Japanese influence, too, which also reminds me of what he does in Rockman and Forte.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing that's similar to it is it actually starts off with a little piano line. Both of them do that. And they're actually in a sort of similar rhythm that both of the...
Tempo, yeah.
Yeah, no,
that's one of the reasons why I wanted to spend a little bit of time with some of these expansions. It might not be super familiar or maybe well-regarded. I'm not really sure how popular these expansions are, but I really wanted to spend some time with Mitsuda's music because I personally love his style, and I think he definitely brought a unique flair to the Final Fantasy series, so I'm glad we could do that.
That's really catchy.
So now we're going to move on to... the last game we're going to talk about today, this is Final Fantasy XII, and it again was composed by Hitoshi Sakimoto, who he played music from Final Fantasy Tactics. So he composed Final Fantasy XII and did a really good job. And just so you know, the two expansions we played from were 04 and 06, and Final Fantasy XII came out in 06. And there are a couple games in recent years that had orchestration, full orchestras for these Final Fantasy soundtracks. It was one of the games we played from, it might have been either 8 or 9, had a few selections that were orchestrated. So like most of the soundtrack was fake, but there were like a few tracks that they were able to orchestrate. And this game, I think, had slightly more orchestrated tracks. So this is a track called Rebellion. And this kind of evokes a very rousing, epic John Williams type of a Star Wars feel.
Oh, definitely a Star Wars feel. I almost feel the name in and of itself is almost a reference to Star Wars. Because he uses just incredibly vintage, Star Wars specific, that sort of like spacey,
most of what the brass is doing, yeah. So anyway, here is Rebellion, composed by Hitoshi Sakimoto.
This is Rebellion from Final Fantasy XII.
This is composed by Hitoshi Sakimoto.
This is just great. Yeah, it has a lot of Williams-style elements, like especially those trumpet lines and everything that he's doing, and even the rhythm that dun 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 dun. It's really well done, and it's I really like what it's going for, and I think it's doing sort of a loving homage to that type of music.
Yeah, it's obviously fake instruments. It's not a real orchestra, you can tell, but they're nice sounding samples. And this came out in 2006, so that was kind of the rise of pretty good sounding orchestral samples that were starting to fool people. Like nowadays, it's gotten to the point where you can't really even tell.
I mean, I feel those horns are the trumpet line is just such a dead giveaway.
Yeah. Mainly, for me, it's the high strings. That's another thing you can tell. But yeah, this is kind of a fitting way to close off this episode, playing a really exciting piece, because so much of the music we played today was really soft and slow. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to get this as kind of the other style.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say is the Final Fantasy series are known for their battle or boss themes, and they have excellent battle and boss themes. The reason we didn't play any today is because we did play some in our boss episode already.
Exactly.
So we kind of wanted to give a little bit, you know, of a variety. And
yeah, and there's so much excellent music from this series that we didn't play today. So
I do think in the future we will probably do an Uematsu episode.
Right, that's one of the reasons we also didn't do some of that stuff.
Yep.
But overall, I feel this was just a wonderful experience for me, at least, and I believe for Carl as well. well. Mm-hmm. I just adore every single track that we've played today, and I've gained so much more respect for Uematsu as a composer and just as an effective, you know, maker of this wonderful music.
Me too. I mean, this is kind of a greatest hits of his music for these Final Fantasy series and a few other composers as well. But it was a lot of fun for me to get outside of my comfort zone, because I would never really listen to every single Final Fantasy soundtrack if I wasn't going to prepare for something like this. So it was nice to get out of my comfort zone and discover some music that I really liked a lot, you know?
Right. Well, I hope that's curbed your appetite for some Uematsu and some Final Fantasy. And there will definitely be more of that to come in mm-hmm. the future. And I just think this is a wonderful experience. This is one of my favorite playlists that we've made for this entire podcast. So this is just such a delightful experience. It's nice to get back into the flow of things and doing a regular podcast.
Yeah, it is nice. Because, last week, hopefully you guys enjoyed last week. It was definitely a very different style.
Right.
It was kind of a little bit more structured and scripted, and it was fun. But I think there may have been some people that were like, "Oh, is that what the format of the podcast is going to be?" But so it's nice to get back into the kind of a normal flow of an episode. So
right, well, thank you so much for joining us again. We really hope you've enjoyed this. And don't forget all the wonderful things you can do online to support us and to have us be more present in your life as listeners of video game music.
Yeah, and feel free to leave us a comment telling us what are some of your favorite Final Fantasy tracks. Maybe there's a track we didn't get to today. Maybe there's a nice obscure track that we might not know of. So yeah, feel free to share some of your favorite Final Fantasy music. And again, feel free to like us on Facebook and subscribe to us on YouTube and Twitter and all that fun interweb stuff.
All those lovely things.
Yeah, so once again, it's great to be back with you guys. We look forward to doing this again next week. Until then, we hope you have a great week. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
I'm Will Brueggemann. Peace out, you guys.
We're going to play you out with another track from Final Fantasy IX. This is called A Song from Her Memory. See you guys.
Bye.